The Mishnah, today we're going to review Shabbos Dav Nun. The Mishnah spoke about insulating with wool shearings, which are muktzah. So Rava comments that taman behen metatalin osan, once they were ready used for insulating, they lose the muktzah status. The problem is that we have an explicit Mishnah that tells us, notalas hakisui vehein noflos, that when you have wool shearings on a pot, you have to take the cover off of the pot, and then they'll fall away on their own. But you're not allowed to move the wool shearings directly. So how can Rava say that they're not muktzah once they've been used for atmana? It says explicitly in the Mishnah that they remain muktzah. You have to be metal to them in atzad. You have to move them indirectly. So the Gemara offers two approaches to understanding Rava. First, Rava may hold that even after it was used for insulating, the shearings remain muktzah unless yichton lahatmana. They were specifically designated for insulating. Using them once for insulating wouldn't be enough. Designating them for insulating would be enough. They would only lose their muktzah status if they were designated for that purpose. Second possibility, Ravina suggests, Rava may hold that even using the shearings a single time for atmana would remove the muktzah status. When the Mishnah says that the shearings can't be moved directly, bishal heftek shanu. It was speaking about shearings of a warehouse that even after being used for atmana will be returned to the warehouse and therefore remain muktzah. But normal shearings would not remain muktzah after being used for atmana. The Gemara goes on to discuss how to remove the muktzah status from chorios shel dekel shegidron le'etzim, palm branches that were grown for firewood. There are three opinions in the Amoraim, each with support from Matana, how to accomplish removing the muktzah status from them if you want to use them for something that's practical on Shabbos. Rav Amar Kosher, Rav says to tie them up as a sign that you want to use them for something else, and this approach fits with the Tanakhama, who also said, Sarich Lekasher. We assume that Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva holds this way as well, because he only permitted relying on Machshava alone in a situation where the item was needed for a Beis Avel or Beis Mishnah, but in normal circumstances, an actual act of tying it before Shabbos is necessary, just like Rav says, just like the Tanakhama says. Shmuel Amar Choshev. Shmuel, however, says you only have to have in mind that you want to sit on them instead of using them for firewood. And that approach fits very well with the Tana Rav Shmuel Gamliel, who says, Ein Tzarich Lekasher, just having in mind is good enough. Now, later in the Gemara, Rav Papa explains that if the muktzah item is something that a maisa cannot be done on, like dirt, what sort of maisa are you going to do? Then even the previous view of the Tanakhama and of Rav would agree to Rav Shmuel Gamliel and Shmuel and hold that machshava alone would suffice. When does the Tanakhama and Rav require a Maisa? When it's something that you can do a Maisa on. If it's something you can't possibly do a Maisa on, then even the Tanakhama and Rav would agree to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel and Shmuel respectively. Third opinion is Rav Asi Amar Yoshev. Rav Asi says, even if you never tie them up and you never had in mind to sit on them, all you have to do is actually sit on them just once, just for a little bit, before Shabbos. And that fits with the author of another Braisa, who holds that Yotzin bepakurin ubetzipa, you can go out with combed flax or wool on Shabbos as long as you use it for a bandage for a moment before Shabbos. Using it just once is enough to remove the muktzah status. Now, incidental to that discussion, the Gemara quotes a contradiction between two Braisos. One that says, Bakol chafenas hakelim, you can rub kelim with anything, including sand, including chol. And the other that says, Nasar v'chol asr, that sand may not be used to rub kelim. So the Gemara presents three ways to resolve the steer in the Braisos. Number one, Marsav rabinan maisa, Marsav alabinan maisa. The Braisa that allows using the sand holds you can remove muktzah status without a maisa. And the Braisa that doesn't allow using the sand holds it retains its muktzah status unless you do a maisa. Or the second possibility, Harabi Yudavar Rabbi Shimon. Maybe you'll agree that you don't need a maisa to remove the muktzah status. The issue with the sand has nothing to do with muktzah. It's a concern that you'll inadvertently scrape the kelim smooth with the sand. The braisa that permits using the sand holds Davar Shein Miskavin is mutter like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and the braisa that asers using the sand holds that Davar Shein Miskavin is aser like Rabbi Yehuda. So even if it's only inadvertent that you smooth it down, it's still going to be aser. The third approach is that maybe both braisas, Havaha, Rabbi Yehudahi. Both brises are like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Davar Sheina Miskaven, but the brisa that says that it's aser to use the sand is concerned that you might actually come to scrape the kelim smooth, and they're worried about the Davar Sheina Miskaven. The brisa that says that it's mutter holds that it's not a realistic concern. You're never actually going to come to scrape anything smooth. Now, even according to the brisa that says it's aser to use the sand on kelim, you can use the sand to wash your face, the Gemara says, provided the brisa itself says, but the Gemara explains that's only provided there's no hair on your face that you might inadvertently remove. Like, for instance, if you're a woman or a child. But if it's a man who has hair on his face that he might inadvertently remove, and you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Davar Sheina Miskaven is aser, so you can't use these kinds of soaps on your face either. Then the Gemara very briefly questions, Ma'u liftsa zeisim b'shabbos? Can you crush olives on a rock on Shabbos to help sweeten them? Rav Sheshes answered that b'chol mi hitiru, even on weekdays you're not allowed to do this, because it's a problem of hefsed ochlin, of wasting food. Now, since we previously discussed washing with different types of soap, the Gemara tells us that barda, a certain type of soap, was brought to several amoraim. Some of them refused to use it out of a concern of beged isha, that it's too feminine an activity to do, and some who did use it because of rochets adam panav yadav ragel b'chol yom b'shvil kano, that a person should always try to be as clean as possible to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then finally, the daf concludes with an assertion that you can remove a non-muktzah item that is surrounded by muktzah only if the muktzah itself will not be moved. However, that assertion is questioned because we have a mishnah in Kelayim that says that if you buried a turnip or a radish under the ground, you can remove it without concern for muktzah, even though the surrounding dirt is certainly going to move, and therefore that rejects the assertion that you're allowed to move a non-muktzah item when muktzah items that are surrounding it are going to be moved by it as well. So we'll pick up next time with the mishnah on top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph.